And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 6. Joshua and chapter 6. And in our exercise of late, taking advantage of what God has recorded for us, even in the book of Joshua, that we might be reminded and refreshed on how to succeed. Now, in the light of chapter 6, you remember, as we did Jericho and God's destruction of Jericho. Now, what is God? What do we know? Israel was given the land, Joshua chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And every place that the sole of their foot would tread, God has given it to them. And they were to go and enjoy every place that God had given them. The land was set apart for them. It was God's place for them to enjoy God's wonderful presence. And all the world and all the nations of the world were to see it and understand. So, and thus, in being God's place, and being God, and God being there, it required, make sure it's holy ground. Make sure we have to want. Make sure there's no idolatry, no idols. It needs to be clean, holy, set apart. And thus, as we share together in the process, chapter 6 and verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot, kind of the two spies, shall live, she and all her, and all that are with her in her, the house, because she hid the messages that we sent. And ye, verse 18, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. And when you take of the accursed thing, you make the camp accursed, Israel accursed, and trouble it. Now, you're going to be in trouble, and wherever you are is going to be in trouble. So, and they were warned, Israel. So now, having said that, they were to go, and the whole place was accursed, set apart, devoted to destruction. And thus we saw that a little bit as we looked and reminded ourselves, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and just to pick up to get the flavor of it, chapter 7, Deuteronomy, and they were reminded over and over again to understand. And before they even crossed the Jordan. And therefore, chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 1. Well, verse 2, for time. And then, well, I'll read verse 1. And when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, God's going to give them the victory. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. That's the word accursed. Utterly destroyed. And when you put the two together, the verbs together, it means to completely, utterly, completely destroy it. Not just destroy, completely destroy it. And therefore, verse 2, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make no covenant, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, etc., etc. So they're going to go and utterly, they're going to, that's their assignment. Why is that true? Because God is going to be there. And if you want to enjoy God, you cannot have the world system and honor the world system, idolatry, and everything, idols. You can't do both. If you're going to have God, it has to be a clean place. It's God's place. It's holy. And it has to be holy. So, what are you showing us in Jericho? I'm telling you what God said, God, chapter 6. I'm going to level the city, level the walls, and I want everything in it. Everything. Everything and everyone. Zero. Nothing left. I am judging it. They are full of idols and idolatry. And I'm trying to help you understand, said, as God is helping Joshua and them understand. You need to understand what you're going to do as you tackle the nations. What I told you to do in conquering the city and doing it. Turn over. Well, you're here in chapter 7. And you'll remember, please, going over if I can. You'll pick it all up all over the place as you read. If I can, chapter 7, verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye, what you see, thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods, that they will be, for that will be a snare unto you, and you're going to get trapped, you're going to get caught, and you're going to lose what? What I'm trying to give you, said God. What I'm trying to give you is clean, pure, wonderful. It belongs to God. And so you're going to go and make sure that you don't have anything. I don't want you to have any pity. And sliding over, if I can, verse 25. And the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that this is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shall thou bring an abomination into thy house, and lest thou be a cursed thing. In other words, what you brought in was cursed, and now your house is cursed. Now you're cursed. You've cursed everything because you've taken that which I've cursed and meant for destruction, and you brought it into your own system. And now your own system is cursed. Verse 26, thou shalt bring an abomination, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt should utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed. There's the word accursed. It's just translated cursed. It's a cursed thing. So now God, and jumping ahead, so where we're going, so you see it as we go along. God, what does God do? God saves us. And last time we shared together, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, Christ became a curse for us. So when we get saved, God brings us into Christ, clean, holy, separate. And that's why you're saved and why I'm saved, because God sets it apart and God is holy. We got an old nature we got to deal with. We're going to look at that. We have that, but God crucified that. What are you trying to say to the Israelites back then? I'm trying to help the Israelites understand. It's holy ground. And if you house that which I've condemned, that which is evil, your ground and your house and your family are going to suffer. You have to have it holy. No idolatry. Why? Because idolatry is opposed to God's holy person. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and over to chapter 20, just for a moment while you're here, and you'll catch it. All kinds of different ways, And I know you remember them. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, all about the battle, all about the winning of the battle, and sliding over, if I can, to verse 16, 20, and 16. But of the cities, of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, it's where you're going to live, it's where you're going to, what you're going to own. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breedeth, nothing. But, verse 17, thou shalt utterly destroy accursed. Thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And the reason you better do it, because, verse 18, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. And they are going to go. They are not going to get saved. They're dead set against God. And if you leave them in your own house, as it were, back then, anytime, the bad guy, evil. Your old nature, easy. Your old nature is always your old nature. When is your old nature different? Tomorrow morning? Next month? When's it different? All the way till you go to the grave. Your old nature's there. It never gets better. So what do you got to do? What do we do? Romans 6, 11. Reckon yourself what? Dead indeed unto sin. You got to deal with it. But it doesn't say try to analyze it better. No, it doesn't say that. It says, reckon it dead. I crucified it. You're free. Don't get to it. Don't get into it. And use it in the wrong, let it be, don't let it dominate your life, because then what happens to your relationship to God? You lose your relationship to God, like we shared this morning. You lose it. And most people are quite content in having it missing. So therefore, if we can, in the light of that, God's wonderful work. Now, one other thing to remind myself of, over Leviticus and chapter 18, and just remind yourself of all of just everything coming together. And Leviticus chapter 18, and you remember it. May I pick it up, please? I'll read verse 23 gives you the setting. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth up her inhabitants. The land. I didn't have earth. I didn't put people on earth to be full of idolatry. I didn't do that. And that's why Genesis 3:17 and that, God blessed Adam and Eve because he wanted to help Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And he cursed the ground. He cursed it so that it didn't cooperate. He was trying to help them understand, why can't this work better? Because of sin. The ground didn't do anything. And the land, when it's been there, third and fourth generation, up they go. Just read history. Read history. And say, well, how come that nation just disappears? How come? Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if you can, and over now, having said that, over if I can please, to the book of Galatians. You don't need to go. Well, I do want you to remind yourself of it. And in Galatians and chapter 5. And you'll note, in Galatians and chapter 5, here the works of the flesh. Christ crucified them. He died and terminated them. He ended it. Now, what are we to do? In verses 5 and 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God opposes your old nature. That's why you got whatever problem. That's why you're convicted of sin, etc., etc. Because when you got saved, God brought light into the darkness, and darkness hates light. Chapter 5, verse 17, you got a problem in your heart. You have to what? How am I going to beat the old nature? No. You're going to reckon yourself dead. You don't try to beat it up. You don't try to make it go away and do 10 different gymnastic things to make it go away. It's been what? God has dealt with it on Calvary's cross. He's done. You'll be done with it. Don't try to beat it up. It's there. And there's a conflict. Hang on to that. And verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then we stop. Verse 20, idolatry. Where does idolatry come from? Our heart. Ezekiel chapter 14. It comes from here, inside. So you don't look outside, you look inside. That's where idolatry comes from. Your old nature is against God. Yet against God. And Christ died to save you from the old nature that you have, that you can't get rid of till he takes you home. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now the illustration. Genesis, if I can. Over if I can. Oh, no, Genesis, no. Not Genesis. Exodus. In Exodus, chapter 17. And keeping in mind, and what do we know? Now God's going to help. This is way back with Moses. Now what do we know, Moses? What did you learn? Now this is before they come to the Jordan River. This is before that, during the wilderness. And during that time, what do we have? Well, in the process, they are always murmuring to Moses. Moses would do something, the people would not believe. When they had a problem, they didn't. They just murmured and mumbled and caused problems to Moses. So Moses, chapter 17, there was water, verse, chapter 17, verse 2. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And you got to remember, here's 2.5 million people with lots and lots of animals. And you can just imagine, you're in the desert, to have how much water. It'd be a possibility. So, but God was supplying it. So now, chapter 17, and in verse 2, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt and put God to the test? For the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? You brought us out to do all of this. So now they're murmuring and mumbling, and God goes and provides water. Now, in the process of that, that set the stage for them to see something and understand something. Chapter 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek is a product of Esau. Amalek, Esau, Amalek came from him. So what? His Esau. And Amalek is not. What are you saying, God? You murmur and you're mumbling and you murmur and you're mumbling. What does that do? You need to be trusting God who provided them water. Then came Amalek. What were they to learn? Amalek is a constant pest to you. And it's not going to go away. Your old nature is not going to go away. Amalek's not going to go away. So therefore, Moses, Amalek came, and in the process to fight. Verse 9, And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hands. So we're going to look to God to give us the victory. And Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And there they are looking up, and they're fighting down below. Verse 11, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. So what are we doing? Moses got his hands up. His hands get tired of holding his hands up. So the wind, and so his hands drop down, and Amalek starts winning. Conflict, Galatians 5:17. Your old nature, you're in conflict. Here it is, an illustration. You're going to go, and Israel, you're going to learn anything? When Moses looks to God, you're winning. When you don't look to God, you're going to lose. Amalek is there. Amalek, a pest. He never goes away. Therefore, you go quickly over, if I can. And God gave the victory with his hands up. And verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly, utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I don't want it around. What are we going to do in Jericho? I'm going to illustrate for you. I want you to get rid of it all. Everything in that city dies. God said, I want you to help the people. You got a problem. If you let them live, you're going to be a problem. If you let idolatry live, it's going to win. If you're going to yield to your old nature, doesn't it win? When you begin to doubt, worry, wonder, doesn't it win? It starts winning. You think about it and you keep building on it. It never goes away. So what are you going to do? Look to God. Reckon yourself dead. Now, sliding over. And verse 14. And write for a memorial, etc., etc., etc. Verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Nissi. And that means the Lord my banner, the Lord my victory. So we're looking up to God to have the victory. And statement, God says now, verse 16, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's never going away. You've got a problem with the world system. You got a problem with your old nature. And you're never going to get rid of them. They're always there to be a pain in the neck. So now, having said that, 1 Samuel, if I can, in chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel, chapter 15, if I may. And as we can look, and you'll see, God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So here we're looking, and God's going to go and help us understand that by way of Amalek, he's going to help us understand. Now, here comes King Saul in chapter 15, illustration. And Saul also said unto, and Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go, verse 3, and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy, there's your accursed, utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay them, both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telabim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley, etc., etc. Now, and they go and take the city. Now, sliding over, and verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed, there's your word, accursed, he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And that's good. You did what you're supposed to do. And Saul and his people and the people spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep. We only get rid of the bad sheep. My, that's a good sheep, a good cow, a good ox. And the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that were good was good. And that would not utterly destroyed. They destroy, but they did not do it. Did not do it. Utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroy. In other words, all the junk you throw out, all the stuff you can use, keep it. And that's what they did. And that's they're in trouble. And therefore, verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be a king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, God's going to have to judge Israel. And when Samuel rose, etc., and God did what he did, and so Samuel confronts Saul. And verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then these bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and lowering of the oxen? Saul said, I did everything I was supposed to do. And no, you didn't. You did not do that. You let all the stuff you wanted to keep, and you've kept it. But he said to Samuel, I have done everything. And Samuel said, well, I hear and I see. You certainly didn't do everything. Verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say, now God's going to go and judge Israel, because they took of the accursed thing, they were not to do it, and thus Amalek, you win again. Verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey. I got to move, Pastor. I have to read it. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy, accursed, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Therefore, then, did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but thou didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. We did it. And what's this explanation to Samuel? No, we did everything. I got Agag. I have a reason for it. We let the other people have what they have. We did all of that, so everyone's happy. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. And you lost your job. You lost your job. You're all done. You're all done. I told you. God said, I told you. And Samuel said, I told you. But you just didn't do it. You went and did what you did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and that's what they did. Amalek, here you still are. And you're still, why? Because we're trying to save the old nature. And God has crucified it and set you free. So you can enjoy God with your old nature, in spite of your old nature. Words, thoughts, deeds that run through our head all the time and make us do what we do. But we can enjoy, we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And God helps us so that we can go. We don't have to fight the dumb thing. God finished it. He became a curse for us. He took the curse. Now, having said taking the curse, and you know, if you were to go, think of Zechariah. And in chapter 14, you don't have the time to turn there. Chapter 14, and you did that, verse 11. God said, as Israel's in the conquering, in the tribulation, as the tribulation winds down, and God says to the people, this is the all I'm not going to utterly use. I'll look at it. Utterly curse. Chapter 14, Zechariah. And in chapter 14, picking up if I may. In chapter 14 and verse 11. And the men shall dwell in it, city, and there shall be no more utter destruction, cursed. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. I'm not going to do it again. I don't need to do it this way anymore. We're in the millennium, in the kingdom looking here. And the kingdom doesn't need that. God rules with a rod of iron. Now, having said that, so we have to wait when God gets, there is no idolatry in the millennium. There isn't any. It's either God plus nothing. There is no idolatry. There are no idols. You may not be saved, but boy, you aren't getting into idolatry. It isn't allowed. God said, no more do I have to utterly do that. I'm not going to allow it even to exist. Now, and in the millennium and the kingdom and the new heaven and new earth, and what do you tell us in Revelation chapter 22? And then what do you tell us? 22 and verse 3. And there will be no more curse. In the new heaven and a new earth, I never need to do it again. It's all holy ground. Sin has been dealt with, and the lessons have been gone through and learned. And Israel at that time, and all believers at that time, in the kingdom, and then definitely into the new heaven and new earth, there's never going to be a curse again. I never have to do this again. I never have to tell you, stay away, because your old nature's fixed. The whole world is fixed. It's where it should be, that God might be all that he is. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and thus as we come here. So now, God, what do we need to do? We need to learn. So in learning, what do we need to learn? God, we got to go and follow instructions. Don't get caught up in covetousness, etc. I see this. I said, wow. I said, what do you see? Remember what Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:6. What did she say? I saw the tree. It was pleasant to my eyes. I saw it. I said, boy, that's attractive. What do you know from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You're back to the same thing as in Genesis. The Genesis problem and the with a old nature, it's the same. Now, God, what are we going to do? You have to help us. So now, having that, and the Lord has to help us, we got to have. And you know from Genesis, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, 32, the world's busy trying to get. They see the gold, they see the silver, they see they got to have. They're trying to get for themselves, covet, to get it, to see it. They desire it with the eyes, and you want it to have more, more. A raise in pay, understand, all these things. All this, everything is there. We keep wanting and doing. That's what we do. And in the process of doing all of that and doing it, God said, that's what the world does. But you want of the world because I've taken you out of the world, John 17, and you belong to me. So therefore, Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, you have a heavenly Father that knoweth what things you need. So don't have to worry. I don't want you getting so caught up in life, because that's Amalek. It's going to take over. Your old nature's going to step in there and grab you, because you're trying to do. Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. I got to have that. No, you know, got to have it. You may need it. You may want it. But keep your hand open to see if God will put it in it. But don't grab it. Don't go after it. I got to have it. Covet. I got to have it. Got to have it. Lust. Desire of the heart. Now, so God, what are we going to do? We're going to look and you're going to go and help us understand you're the Father to provide whatever we need. Now, God, that sounds like simple. Now let's put that into action in closing. Over to Philippians, if you would. And you'll remember, in God's wonderful kindness. Now, God, you're going to meet all our need? I am. I'm going to do it. And I want you to know, I'm trying to help you. What are you going to teach Israel in all of this? To be content and comfortable with God's caring, God's taking care of you, God's providing. God always provides just wonderfully, wonderfully. Why? How so? Because chapter 4, Philippians, verse 11. Now I speak in respect, now, not I speak in OT, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, I am learning, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so I don't go, God, I'm going to be trusting you. You're going to take care, and I'm going to trust you. And I know, verse 12, I know both how to be abased, go down low. I know how to be abound. I know how to have nothing, how to have a lot. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, abound, and at the same time to suffer need. So what? I'm not trusting the system. I'm not trusting Amalek. I'm not trusting my old nature that's up and down all over the place. God, I'm going to trust you. Chapter 4, verse 19. If I can. But my God shall supply all your need. How so? According to his riches in glory by means of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who became a curse for us and set us free. From what? So God, what are you trying to say? You're trying to help us? Yeah. I'm trying to tell you, I did for you. I eliminated, utterly destroyed every dumb thing that could ever happen in your life. I took it to the cross and died. I terminated it. I'm all done. It's finished. You need to enjoy that what I've done for you. You don't have to fight Amalek. You don't have to hold your hands up and try to win. You don't have to do it. The game is already won. The game is in. The game is afoot. And you've already won the game. Play the game as a winner. Play the game. You're a winner. That's what to do. You're free. And God has done that. Israel. Israel gonna learn it? No. Well, we go from the book of Judges, where they're given, to the book, we're going from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges. And everyone did that which is right in their own eyes, and all of it's downhill. God said, I gave you, I told you what to do. If you don't get rid of it, it's gonna win. Anyway, I gotta quit. Hope you got a little bit. Amalek and God, don't touch the accursed thing. And that's what we're gonna look at afresh, because that's a wonderful lesson for us. So thank you.